Olsen Brothers are?
Olsen Brothers?
Yeah.
Is that a band?
No, they're the dudes who used to fly out of Columbia before there was a municipal service.
No, I've never heard of the Olsen Brothers till now.
Oh, well, we'll get to that.
All right.
Okay, that's going to do it. Hello and welcome to Como Explained. It's the new podcast from the KBIA newsroom. We take some of the complex issues and politics that affect our community and we break them down. I'm Scott Pham, the digital content director here at KBIA. My co-host is Ryan Kamuliner.
Hi, I'm Ryan.
How's it going, Ryan?
It's going great, Scott.
Good. Ryan, you are the assistant director of the newsroom. And today we are talking about the Columbia Regional Airport. It's been a huge uphill battle to grow this airport. We're going to tell you why the airport is the way it is now. We're going to explain the whole Delta Airlines, American Airlines debacle. We're going to explain why we don't have Frontier Airlines anymore. And we're going to explain why they tried to close our air control tower and then decided they didn't have to. So we're going to get to that in a minute, but first I kind of wanted to give a shout out to Reddit, all of Reddit.
Reddit!
In Missouri. last week I put up a post on the Columbia, Missouri subreddit, and I just we didn't have an idea for this week, a show idea for this week, and I said, what do you guys want explained about Columbia?
And we thought nobody would say anything. Because,
yeah, well, I thought it would be a couple, but I thought there would be like, hey, I'm the one of the three people listen to you. And I'd be like, awesome, high five. But yeah, we got like almost 100 comments when it came down to it, actually.
Oh,
I think
wow.
We're at 90
I haven't checked
today.
Back for a while. Wow.
Yeah, people have been continuing to comment, and they have like a ton of really awesome ideas. And that was really exciting.
I hope we plan on getting – we've already started trying to figure out how to get to a few of those.
Yeah, we really wanted to do one of them this week, and then something happened where Frontier Airlines, their last day was on Monday. We'll get to that in a second. But we decided that this was the week to do the airport story. But some of the cool ideas that Reddit had, that you had, because I suspect you might be all of the people that listen to us. One cool idea was people say that there are these steam tunnels under 9th Street downtown.
Yeah, I've been hearing about those for ever since I came to Columbia.
Right, because you went to school here.
I did, yeah. And it's one of those kind of like urban legend type things, but there's also some truth to it as well. So we're going to try to figure out those distinctions there, and we've got a few connections that might help us out with that as well. That might be a longer term thing, but hopefully we can get to that.
Yeah, maybe
we get to that one soon. Personally, I want to
actually go.
I want to be in those tunnels.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna do a live Como Explain from the tunnels.
Be a little echoey, but I think that'll work out right.
No, we're not gonna do that.
Not
that's really stupid.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Another cool idea was the multi-use trails that the city is trying to build around town. Apparently, trails are really controversial. That's a kind of a weird thing. Why is that? Why does the transit system suck so much? It only goes to like Walmart and like two other places.
And you could probably speak to that as a guy who rides his bike.
Yeah, I have never once taken a bus. I don't own a car. I would take a bus if it went anywhere that I wanted to go. But it doesn't.
Yeah. And you're the kind of person that would use it. So, yeah, you're that kind of person. Now, I think there's a lot of people that would use it, especially in a student town, right? So that's a great topic and something we definitely should get to and probably intersection should get to, too, actually.
But. Right. So this week we're going to talk about the airport. The big news, it's not really news, it's more just like a date. It's something that happened.
Yeah, it was coming up and now it happened. Yeah. Frontier's last flight was this week.
Yeah, it was on Monday. It was the kind of the end of a very short relationship we had with Frontier Airlines.
And only about 6 months, and there was this direct flight. You may or may not even know about it. It was only here for 6 months, but direct flight from Orlando to Columbia twice weekly. The fares at the beginning were like $79 each way, which is a pretty good deal for that kind of connection.
Yeah, it was really, really cheap. The weird thing about this pullout was that they didn't give a lot of notice. They didn't send a press release out. It's very, very fluid the way these airlines get in and out of airports.
I think when we first reported the story, I think it's because somebody tried to book a flight and it said on the website that there were no flights available because there are no flights at that time. I think that's how the story broke originally.
They just deleted it from the schedule.
Because I remember calling the city and there were people in the city that didn't even know about it yet. It was just the decision Frontier had made. So that flight's out. I mean, which is on, we'll talk more later about this whole where the airport is going and how this Delta stuff happened. But, you know, when Frontier cut the ribbon 6 months ago, they were talking about adding more flights, adding a connection to Denver, stuff like that.
Yeah, see, because Frontier, or it's weird that they go to Orlando because they don't actually have a ton of business in Orlando. Their hub is in Denver.
Yeah, it didn't make a ton of sense as a connection necessarily. People talked about the SEC, but even that, Orlando's not some huge hub or something.
And you can already
like
get here from Atlanta via Delta.
Well, back then you could.
We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay. So, Frontier was a small airline. They didn't have a ton of flights, and they left on Monday. So I don't think anybody misses them that much. It was a little bit annoying how they pieced out like that. They gave some crappy explanation that was like that their bookings were bad. And I don't know. I haven't looked at the numbers myself.
There wasn't really much evidence to show that. It was kind of
the bookings were all right.
Yeah, they were all right. The city had said this. It was about what you'd expect, if not better, for a new service. You know, it's not something people were used to taking on a regular basis. But yeah, also we have a guy on staff here who had a flight booked for this summer, had already put a deposit down on a condo for a few weeks, and was just out that.
Wait, really? So, who did
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that was Nathan. It was a
Nathan
guy,
did
yeah,
that?
A guy
oh.
in our sales office. So he came over and said, I think they figured something else out, and you know, they think they're going to go another way. But the other funny note on that is this last flight that went out this week, reports are the tickets were $25 for that flight because how are you going to get back?
Yeah, so the problem is, I mean, well, this is the mayor, McDavid, has been saying a little bit defensively, saying bookings were fine. The problem was he didn't charge enough because the tickets were ridiculously cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the business.
Kind of wish I knew that before they were.
They
gone.
Were. I had no interest in going to Orlando,
no, I
but
really
I was
either.
Like, that's so cheap, I have to go. I'm a bargain hunter. I'm going to have to go to that.
Can't get anywhere for $25.
No, no, you can't. But yeah, so. So yeah, I mentioned some reporting. The Tribune had this funny. The funny few sentences at the end of their article about the story that they talked about different studies about air travel in Kansas City and St. Louis, how it's been decreasing recently. And then it was showing Columbia's decrease had been pretty similar. But then it said, well, you know, from 2007 to now, there's actually been a huge increase in Columbia. And that's not been that way in Kansas City and St. Louis. So it's like, oh, you know what? Columbia's doing well. That story actually is that Columbia used to be just miserable. It's not it's not a thing of how good things are going. It's how bad things were going, which is something I'd like to talk a little bit about if you'll have me. but when you mentioned that I was a student here, and I worked at KBIA as a student, like many of our students here. And in that time frame, 2006, 2007, was the low point, if you will, for the airport. Not just like, you know, metaphorically, but really they were getting less people coming in and out, less than, around like 12,000, 11,000.
In 2007, we didn't even have 9,000 people take off. Just under 9,000 people took off.
Yeah, which if for frame of reference, we're well over 40,000 right now flying in and out of Columbia every year.
Yeah.
So they were in terrible shape.
Back then, we had a weird subsidy system. It was like some kind of weird like life support for our airport because we couldn't get anybody to come here.
Yeah, pretty much. I've heard it compared to the school lunch program for air service. So it was called the Essential Air Service Program, EAS for short. So it's basically designed for airports like Columbia, especially like when the state Columbia was in 5 or 6 years ago, where this airport may have disappeared 5 or 6 years ago were it not for this revenue guarantee for an airline. So these airlines would come in and offer service here, and the federal government would cover basically it would work out to be almost a regular portion of the cost for each ticket because they would guarantee that that the airline's going to make money for flying out of this airport. And it's something that
when
came
did that
in,
start?
So it started in Columbia in, let's see, the program itself started in the 1970s.
Oh, okay.
Nationwide, because they saw this becoming a problem for regional airports like Columbia all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So there are more than 100 airports across the country that use this EAS. There are many that still do. Columbia doesn't anymore. We'll talk about that.
A positive thing.
There's a positive thing. Yeah. So it'd been on, I want to say, for about 10 or 15 years before this 2007 time frame came along where things were really in bad shape. And so what we had was a kind of a rotating cast of characters of different airlines that would come in and offer service here under that EAS and pull in and out, because that was a different business model than like an American or Delta, right? Although Delta ended up flying under EAS for a short period of time.
Yeah.
But it was these small regional airlines that basically made it work to get this government money.
Right. There were these little prop planes to St. Louis and Kansas City, right?
Right. Which the St. Louis and Kansas City ones, especially – I did a lot of reporting on this when I was here, is why I love to talk about it. But basically, the connection times were miserable. You would come in too late in the day, you wouldn't be able to make a connection. And you're not going to fly to Kansas City or St. Louis unless you're flying to those places. You could just drive there and make a better time on connection.
Right. So that was a whole different idea of an airport back then, right? Because now the idea of Columbia Airport is you get yourself to a hub. And that hub will have lots and lots of flights to choose from. And that's the whole point of the airport. But that wasn't back then. It was just to like you know, if you for some reason want to spend $200 to go to St. Louis.
Yeah, right. Probably more than $200. I mean, I think the idea was, too, that you could connect somewhere else.
But it just wasn't happening.
But it wasn't as good. I mean, I guess if you go way back, you had TWA and St. Louis was a hub at one point. Hmm. St. Louis used to be one of those places you could fly out of and get almost anywhere. But you can't do that anymore in Kansas City or St.
Louis.
St.
Louis used to be a lot of things.
Yes. Boom roasted. So these Kansas City and St. Louis flights were basically useless when you get right down to it, because you can drive 2 hours and get a much cheaper flight. Unless you're some – and that's kind of still a problem, something the airport's always going to have to battle, right, is that the prices are still very high here. But they were then too. The prices – you were paying $300, I want to say, and that's off the top of my head. But it was in that range. It was nothing – you're not getting a cheap flight to Kansas City or St. Louis. And back then, gas was even much cheaper than it is now. Then I guess we want to go through the progression of how things went. So in 2008, Delta came in and started flying through one of its connections to Memphis, okay? So that's
right.
A better connection than Kansas City or St.
Technically,
Louis.
It was called Mesaba/NWA.
Oh,
it was
my
a different
bad.
Company. But it was they later merged with Delta and
oh, thank
it became
you.
Delta.
Okay.
Showing off my
fact
research
just
here.
Just a fact checker right there. Got
yeah.
me. All right.
But yeah, they're going to Memphis on a little prop plane. I looked one of those up on Wikipedia today. They look horrifying.
Oh, I'm sure.
They look really, really scary. They stopped making them in the 90s because of scariness.
Yeah, I think that's part of the experience, too.
It wasn't because of scariness.
Yeah, you've flown out of the airport here, Scott, and you know that it's... Yeah, that's part of the experience, of a regional airport. Fearing for your life.
For some people, you know, taking an airline is a luxury experience, and for other people, it's like skydiving.
But yes, yeah, so you got this flight to Memphis that goes on for a few years up until, let's see, really 2012. We had this flight to Memphis.
It was
a connection, but not one of these major hubs.
Yeah, the problem is Memphis sucks. You can't get a lot of places from it, you know, and that it's not – that part of the country is not really a major draw into Columbia. And what Mayor McDavid always says is he wants to get west. There's – for some reason, I'm not totally sure. There's a lot of people going to California. There's a lot of people going to Denver. Chicago is fine, but really he wants to get west of here.
Yeah, yeah. And there has been some research to show that some of these west coast destinations are by far the places people are flying. The final destination. Nations from flights out of Columbia, that's where they're going.
I mean, that's where I'd go. But
That's just you. But no, so it's definitely something people are the airline folks have been considering for a while, the airport people. the airport people.
Yeah.
Come on, use your words here, Ryan. The city leaders have been saying for a long time it needs to be a regional place. It needs to be where all of these – everybody from surrounding areas of Columbia will come in to fly out and connect somewhere instead of driving to Kansas City or in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Right. But in this this revenue guarantee, which we should talk about now because apparently Boonville threw down a little bit.
Yeah, actually. Boonville threw down. Jeff City threw down. Columbia and Regional Economic Development, all these folks, they didn't have trouble finding a lot of people that were into this.
So let's explain this. Right now, the only airline we have flying out of COU is American Airlines.
American Airlines.
Taking three flights daily. What is it? Two to Dallas.
And one to Chicago.
One to Chicago.
O'Hare.
Yeah.
No, Midway. Midway. Sorry about that.
Mm. So why is that happening?
Okay. So we already mentioned that Delta was here.
Yeah.
And we mentioned that Frontier had been here. We had these two airlines. Delta had switched over to give
three for a second.
Yeah, three for a second when American came around.
Yeah.
But before American comes onto the scene, if you will, you've got Delta who announced that they're flying to Atlanta, which is a huge hub, right? That's a big deal.
Yep.
Columbia had not had a real hub like that for a long time. all of a sudden the airport is vibrant again, right? The airport has a chance. And so now city leaders and other community leaders, like you said, Boonville, Jeff City, all over the region are saying, hey, let's see if we can keep building on this. Okay.
Right.
But they get this idea to put together a escrow fund that will basically be a revenue guarantee. We talked about those earlier where EAS would cover the cost to make sure that an airline is at least breaking even.
So this is a local version of that.
It's a local version of that, and it's like a grassroots version of that. It's a private business version of that, or I guess municipality.
Right. So what happens is every month American Airlines has to sell a certain number of tickets, make a certain amount of money, or at least make a certain amount of sales. And if they don't do that, if they miss their mark, then this escrow account will send them a check.
Right. And so – well, they had this money pooled up, and they started the city leaders and everyone started looking for airlines to court with this money to say, hey, we want you here, and here's us, you know, we're going to sweeten the pot for you. And so they find American Airlines that has interest and brings with them the connections, as you mentioned, of Dallas and Chicago, which are really great ones for those travel patterns that they see. It was still nothing to take us west yet.
Right. Well, Dallas gets us a little west.
Dallas gets you a little west.
And connected there.
And Chicago is a major route between here and Columbia. That's one of the main places people fly out of Columbia. So that was a really exciting thing. So American comes on board. And then but then Delta goes, wait a second. Like, we've been here for 4 years, five years.
Yeah, where's our revenue guarantee?
Yeah, where's our revenue guarantee?
Yeah, no, Delta was probably been the most useful and the longest lasting of all the airlines we've had before. In a previous Intersection show I was listening to this morning, Mary McDavid was on the show talking to Ruben Stern along with a representative from Delta, and he was saying over and over and over, like, Delta is the cornerstone of our airport experience here. We are building something with you guys. It was just you and me. And
right.
then,
like you said, a matter of months later, it's over.
It's over. Yeah, they broke up.
Yep, they broke up. It was fun while it lasted. No, you're right, because, again, we've talked about this changing cast of characters. Frontier might be a bit of an anomaly because it was such a strange connection. But we had all those people in the middle range in 2004, 2007 or so that were flying these kind of regional flights, a lot of them under EAS. There was way back when there was like Ozark Airlines,
Favorite of the airlines.
So, yeah, Ozark Airlines conjures up these images, right? Of, I don't know, Billy Bob, your flight attendant who just throws your bags in there and smoking a pipe, whatever.
Yeah, a lady pushes a cart down the aisle with some grain alcohol in it.
I'm not going to comment on that, whether or not that's true. I did have my father-in-law did work for Ozark Airlines
for a while,
so no comment on
that.
I thought he
was like Cerner his whole life.
No, that's my dad. That's
father-in-law.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I don't have to claim him as much.
So it is a real airline.
I don't think he'll listen to this, so it'll be all right. But it's a real airline. I've got like old vintage coasters that prove it. But yeah, so that was maybe would have been around a little bit, one of the longer serving airlines for a long time in Columbia. But now, yeah, Delta had been around. They'd been the game for a while here in Columbia. And then just as soon as, you know, they felt slighted from a business perspective, it changes the game, right?
Because
it's harder for them to compete if they don't have. And the city did try to come with some options for Delta as well to try to keep them on board.
But
they weren't revenue guarantees, or at least to the same magnitude. And there were, it was something about different fees that would be waived and things like that.
Right, The thing about revenue guarantees, it's just like a no-brainer for the airline, right?
Yeah.
Like, they know exactly how much money they're going to make. Like, it's either that or more. And they just get to write that in their books, you know?
Right.
And it's not a risk.
Yeah, unless you have no interest in messing with this market, right? And I think smaller, regional airports like this have started to look at that, but it's not a really common thing to be private like that. You know, the Essential Air Service is really the only thing, one of the main things to compare that to, because it exists as federal money. But it's pretty unusual what the city did, and it was really interesting and kind of impressive for me to say, I mean, to editorialize a little bit here, to see that they were able to get together that much money from that many different entities that were interested in making the airport something, you know, making it a place people can actually fly out of.
Yeah, I remember, I mean, it's convincing that many people to put their money in, because that's kind of a long-term thing, right? It's saying like, okay, you're in this now, like you are dedicated to bringing in people from the outside. You're dedicated to having a regional airport and having that matter to you.
And it's not like you're going to get a return on that money.
No, not right away.
Not a like physical, like, you get this much money because you invested this much money. You do get, you know, the business that's going to come into town that wouldn't otherwise. But it's not a very solid thing from a business perspective to put your hat on, because you can't say, yes, I put this money in and I got a 20% return on it. It's it's more of a commitment to an idea than it is an actual and you know, a change of the kind of traffic that comes in and out of your communities. But
yeah, there was one little hiccup with that I read that in Jefferson City, they have their own airport. And it's pretty much just it's a runway for private jets.
Yeah.
And doesn't make a lot of money and isn't really useful for – I mean, it's not available for commercial use. But they have their own airport advisory board just like we do, this like semi-governmental entity that makes recommendations. And they were against this, actually. They were against Jefferson City throwing down money for this airport, because they said, if we're going to throw down money for an airport, why don't we make our own? Of course, the obvious explanation is, I think they threw down like $100,000 to $200,000 or something, and it takes a lot more than that to build your own real airport.
Absolutely, yeah, they don't have the money. And you know, if you want to talk about that, about semantics too, really, you know, Columbia Regional Airport is not in, you know, it's pretty far south in Columbia, almost, you know, about more than halfway to Ashland.
Yeah, you're really close to Jefferson City.
Yeah,
at that
point. It's pretty dang close at that point. So we kind of jumped around, but so Delta decides they're done.
Yeah, but Delta says we are not competing with American when they have the full backing of the city.
They have the full backing, and they have these twice daily to Dallas, once to Chicago, where you know, versus and because then you're competing for those connections, because those are offering some of the same connections, and you're going to have to offer lower prices to try to compete, and you're not going to be able to make as much because these other guys can offer lower prices because they're guaranteed to make their money back no matter what. So that's a tough situation for Delta to be in. So it makes sense from a business perspective, but there were some comments from Delta that were kind of just like, hey, it's about being fair. You know, it's not we didn't like how this all played out. You know, take care of the people that you have on board instead of just courting new people. It's like how you get to pay, you know, $20 a month to get your satellite if you're a new customer, but I'm paying $100 a month, you know. Like, yeah. I don't feel good about that as the old customer.
Yeah, no, yeah. McDavid got a lot of heat for this because, you know, the first problem is it's a little weird, the city making these revenue guarantees. People were fine when there was federal money because it didn't feel like it came out of their pockets directly. Mm-hmm. But when this is like it is taxpayer money, we are on the lines and we're paying for the service which we have to pay for.
It's a lot more stressful, right? Because now the city has become almost a contractor, right? You're basically you've become very not just invest. You've literally invested in the process of how the airline does. So you need to make sure things go well.
Yeah. So and the other reason why McDavid got some heat was, is this the situation he wanted to be in? He drove out Delta. Frontier left. I don't know if that was directly related, but but now we're just left with a single airline here. You know, and it's American Airlines isn't going to leave when they have this revenue guarantee. But you look at the history of the airlines that come in and out, and it's very fluid. It's like they could – I mean, there's no reason for us to believe they're going to stick around forever.
Right, right. And they did – the city – so this revenue guarantee has been in place for a couple months too, and the city did have to pay out the first month. They paid out $20,000-something. Mm-hmm. Second month didn't have to pay. So it'll be interesting to see. Well, I mean, all the news outlets will be following that because this has been in the news so much. We'll all be following to see how much the city actually has to pay. Theoretically, maybe that money – you know, builds on itself and is enough. You know, if you did $20,000 a month, or let's say that's $10,000 between 2 months, if you were only paying $50,000 or $60,000 a year, that's gonna keep airlines here for a long time. Where if American decides they're done in this market, you might be able to attract somebody else with that money now that you've already got it in a pot somewhere. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It's a big deal, and people were really all over McDavid for it, especially once Delta and Frontier happened. Like you said, Frontier probably didn't have a whole lot to do with it, but Delta for sure, that was kind of a game changer.
Okay. Let's talk about the other thing. The other thing that's super weird right now is our tower, our control tower, the thing that actually guides planes in and out of the runways, was slated to close along with 148 other towers. Just about 2 months ago, they decided that, and a couple of weeks ago, they decided we're not going to do that. We're not going to close it down.
Right. I mean, yet anyway, it still looks like they have at this point they have funding through September. So we'll get to that in a second. So basically, sequestration. Let's talk about sequestration right. for a second. So, that's where this all starts. And I had a student ask how to pronounce it, and I just said, like Seacrest, like Ryan Seacrest.
Like Seacrest. Don't tell them. They're just going to say sequestration.
Sequestration. I haven't heard that on air yet, but sequestration.
So in 2011, Congress passed a bill that said the next time we do this budget thing, you have to get the deficit under control or we're going to cut out more than $85 billion. Back then, it was like $100 billion out of the budget, which is a huge amount out of the budget. It's so much that you'd have to be cutting. You couldn't just take it out of one or two programs. You have to cut everything out. Mm-hmm. It's just a massive haircut on defense, on all kinds of domestic problems. People are going to get fired.
My favorite description of that was that it was Congress holding guns to each other's heads. Like it was like, if you have to do it or else this crazy thing will happen that we would never let happen.
Yeah, it was like an explicit bluff. They never thought that it would get there. The idea was they'd say like, well, obviously nobody wants this. So we will get the budget under control. We will get the deficit under control through the legislative process, which was a lot of faith in the legislative process because that broke down. And then on the 2013 budget never got figured out. They never brought down the deficit. And in March 1st, automatic spending cuts, automatic budget cuts went into place, taking out millions of dollars of programs domestically, internationally, everything, including $637 million from the FAA budget.
Right. And yeah, so there's, like you said, so it's wide reaching. I mean, this is not like this is the only thing that got hit, but it's something a lot of people talk about because it's a public safety issue, right? And so, yeah, Columbia is one of these 147, mostly smaller, definitely smaller, and sometimes strategically placed because the way that Columbia was going to work because sequestration was going to close it down like these others is that we were going to have someone controlling – basically having a control tower out of Springfield handle all the traffic in Columbia.
Yeah, so the problem is that the city employs most of the people that work in the Columbia airport, all the people that aren't like ticket sellers and that kind of thing. But the FAA employs the people that are in the towers.
Right.
So the FAA can fire those people, and then we just have an empty tower, and we can't fill it with anybody.
Right. And so that basically was a done deal. We were supposed to be closed next month.
But... Right. So the idea was that we'd have this kind of absent tower that is already kind of handling probably mostly private plane traffic in southern Missouri, and that they would be able to kind of communicate with pilots that are landing on our runway. But the scary thing about that is when you get down to below 50 feet, their technology won't actually allow them to have a very good view of that, probably because of obstacles in the way.
Right.
So then you got people on the ground, non-FAA employees, and those are the only people that are really going to be able to say, hey, don't land there. I put a plane there.
Right. Yeah, the example everybody always used was just literally birds on the runway, stuff like that, which actually cause a lot of accidents, not necessarily on the runway, but in the air. Birds are a huge culprit on a lot of the plane crashes and accidents and stuff. So, yeah, that was one of the arguments was, hey, we can't really actually protect people the way we need to if we're doing this.
It's a little scary.
Just
a few weeks ago, I think, just a few days ago, there was an emergency landing
on the
runway.
Which it was the same day that the FAA announced that the Department of Transportation, rather, announced that there would be that these would not close, that they'll stay open through September.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what happened was we were on the chopping block, and we had this plan to use Springfield, and it kind of sucked, but that was the plan. Nothing else was going
to
happen.
It was what had to happen, really.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise, you don't have it. You got to have somebody do it, and the city's not going to be able to pay. It would be a complete restructuring because, it's like you said, the FAA pays.
We're not equipped to do that.
They're not equipped to do that, and nobody really is at these smaller airports. So that was what was going to happen. But then there was obviously a lot of outcry. There were also a lot of delays that were being blamed on the sequester and stuff like
that.
Right.
So yeah, what happened was that it wasn't just the FAA employees that are in the towers. It's the TSA people that work in the airports. It's all those security people. And that was they had furloughs that started actually just a little bit before the real date of the sequester in late April. And Yeah, so people instantly saw delays. They had to space out departures. There were lots of canceled flights, long lines.
So you've got lots of furious people all over the country calling their Congress members, and then all of a sudden a bunch of Congress members are trying to introduce different legislation to try to find some money to open all this stuff back up and refund all this stuff that got cut through the sequestration.
Right. So Congress was able to pass an emergency bill that didn't actually fund the FAA, but actually kind of allow them to shift funds around the transportation department. It's not totally clear where those are going to come from, but I guess these are some locked funds that are in the transportation department that could not go to the FAA, and now they can. And they passed it with a lot of speed. It was actually kind of crazy. You know, there's lots of – everybody's hurting. Everybody's hurting from these cuts, all the government agencies. So they'd probably all like some kind of reprieve from Congress, but somehow this one got the special attention.
Yep, I guess people flying are the loudest complainers, I guess. I don't know. And it's probably the easiest, most direct problem to fix maybe.
Well, one theory that some people say, and this is super cynical, but is that session's about to end for Congress.
And they all got to fly home.
They got to go home.
And start campaigning for next year. And so they
got to start flying a lot.
But yeah, so now they've got through September, but the city says the same thing. They don't know what's going to happen after September.
Yeah.
It's going to be an ongoing story unless something else happens that reverses some more sequestered cuts.
Yeah, after September, the money's out, and then I assume the same closure would happen.
Yeah.
We got a couple other things to talk about.
All right.
We're going to wrap this up in a few minutes because you have to leave town.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to a baseball game.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to a baseball game.
How come I didn't know that?
I don't know. Yeah, you sold me out like, oh, Ryan's got this really important thing to do. It's a baseball game.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I guess you probably haven't been telling everybody because you want us to think you have an important thing to do.
Yeah, you guys always assume that I'm really busy and doing really, really important stuff. What did you want us to talk about?
One other little thing about the But the airport we should talk about is that McDavid has been talking for a while, and Mathis, the city manager, has been talking for a while about how we need a new terminal.
And if you've
ever been to the airport, the terminal is kind of actually a pretty sad state of affairs.
It's not that impressive, no. That was the thing I almost jumped to two or three times early in this conversation, but I wanted to wait. But yeah, so that's there's a lot of different ways. The main way that they want to try to fund this is through a hotel tax, right? And that obviously ticks off everybody in the hotel industry. They're always the first entity to issue a press release about it.
We already do have a hotel tax.
We do have
4% right now.
And they want to increase it. They want to up it. And so hotel taxes are pretty easy traditionally to get passed in different municipalities because people that are voting them aren't the ones they're going to be paying them. They're going to be people that are coming into town and staying at a hotel. But that said, local like the hotel owners and stuff will not want those things to get passed. So sometimes they'll use whatever powers they can to not even get that on the ballot. But yeah, the project itself was a multi-million dollar.
I think I read – well, the thing is it's really hard to judge these kinds of things. But I think I had read one estimate that was $17 million. The report that I read this in, I forgot what it was, but they pointed out some other regional terminal bills that have happened recently in airports about our size, and you can go as low as $13 million, as high as like $60 million,
mm-hmm.
To get something of our size. So I wouldn't be surprised if that $17 million ballooned at some point.
Right, and that's why I wanted to talk about it earlier, is because in that little time frame where we had three airlines flying out, there was a very justified rationale that said we have to have a bigger terminal in Columbia because we have way too many people coming through every day. We can't house everyone. They were talking about if they weren't going to have the big project, they were going to literally put like a trailer outside.
I think they did.
Did they?
Yeah, I think they did. Actually,
I was going to stop by.
I know
yesterday
they bought them
because it's been a while since I've been to the airport.
But I believe that they actually did. And do you know who they bought their trailers from?
I'm going to guess FEMA.
Yes. No. Oh, that's dark.
Who is it?
Chris Belcher, superintendent of Columbia Public Schools.
I did not know that. Oh, wait. So they bought it from Chris Belcher, or they bought it from the
McDavid said Belcher. I assume he means school district because the school district, probably they have someone hand for when they need to expand artificially their class sizes. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so it definitely was easy to rationalize, hey, here's why we really need this thing. But now we're back down to it's still much larger flow in and out of the airport than there was 4 or 5 years ago. Again, we're talking about those terrible numbers, 10 or 11,000. people a year. Now you're looking more in that 40, 50, 60 range. So if these flights continue to have some of the good loads that they've had so far. So so there's still a rationale for wanting to have this larger airport, and they're going to keep pushing – or larger terminal. They're going to keep pushing for it. But the hotel tax hasn't had much luck. Increasing it hasn't had much luck yet, and that's one of the main ways to fund it.
Okay.
What do we forget? Trivia.
Trivia. Okay.
We got to mention trivia.
Yeah.
There's really only like one piece.
Okay. So did you know, Ryan, that in 1928, the airport was not where it is now, about 10 miles south of town, but at Cosmo Park?
I didn't know that until you told me.
Well, which was actually like yesterday.
Which was yesterday.
But
well, we found out from one of our staff members too that's why the driveway there is so long, is because it used to be.
Yeah, you got to drive like you got to drive 5 minutes into the park before you can park. And yeah, they say that's because those used to be runways.
Yeah, part of it was a runway. So yeah. There you go. Next time you go to Cosmo Park, you have a fun story to tell somebody who's going to go, what are you talking about?
Yeah, there's planes used to land here.
There's an airport in Columbia still. I didn't know that.
So. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Is
all
that
explained.
It? Can we explain it? I think that's the best we can do.
Okay. Well, that's going to do it for the show. I'm going to remind our listeners that you can find us on kbia.org and on iTunes. It's super easy. Just search for Como Explained. We're also on SoundCloud and something called player.fm. So if you want to listen, you have no excuse. We're all over the place. It's very easy to listen to our voices. So send us comments to news@kbia.org, tweets @kbia, or even @ScottFam or @Ryan. Mueliner.
Good luck spelling it.
Yeah, both of those are actually kind of tough. Just do @KBIA. Those are the letters, KBIA. We really want to hear from you, and hopefully really soon we're going to get on one of these weird Reddit topics, and it's going to be awesome.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm psyched for that. Okay, thanks for listening.
Yep.
See you next time.
Bye.